Way of Peace Show. I'm your host, is Mary Ambrose, Chief Impact Officer for the United Way of Southeast Louisiana. United Way's mission is to eradicate poverty in Southeast Louisiana, and we fight for the health, education, and economic stability for everyone in our community. You can join this fight by giving, advocating, and volunteering. Sign up right now on United Way's website, unitedwaysela.org, and become part of the change. I'm very excited today to have on our show with us Amy Glavinsky, the President and CEO of the Bureau of Governmental Research. Welcome to the show, Amy.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. It's great to be back.
Thank you for coming on. I know it was short notice, so I really appreciate you coming on. So let's just jump in and get started, because I'm not sure if everybody knows who you are. So just kind of share with us the mission and the purpose of the Bureau of Governmental Research.
Sure. So the Bureau of Governmental Research is commonly known as BGR. You often hear us referred to by that acronym. We are a private, nonprofit, independent research organization. Our mission is to inform public policymaking and to act in furtherance of the effective use of public resources for the purpose of improving government in the metropolitan New Orleans area. So practically speaking, what that means is we work diligently every day to monitor and observe local government, to capture critical public policy issues, whether they are issues that currently exist or issues that are emerging. And then we activate our research team, and we really mine for facts and data and comparative analysis so that we can assimilate all of that information and ultimately produce recommendations for citizens and for policymakers that move the needle toward toward improved government performance and ultimately positive outcomes and impacts for citizens in terms of better government and better quality of life.
And so where can people find the information that you have from your reports and your research? Do you have a website? How can they access that information?
We do. We have a website, and it's bgr.org. On that website, it's a website, but it also serves as a library of research. So we've produced over 1,500 reports, not all of them, but many of them, and certainly the most recent and current are housed in a searchable format on the website. So citizens who are interested in understanding what we've said about, for example, the Sewage and Water Board or public pension systems, New Orleans budgets over the past 10 years, you can go to our website and search topically and pull up reports that that we've produced over a number of years on these issues. Our website also informs citizens about programs of events that we produce. So our breakfast briefing series, in fact, we have one coming up shortly that will feature Chief Ferguson with former U.S. Attorney Ken Polite. You could go to our website. You could understand when that is and how to register. So our website offers a host of information so that citizens can understand all of the ways that we are operating in the public policy arena.
And is your research focused just on Orleans Parish, or is it broader?
No, it's broader, and I certainly don't want to create the misimpression that we're only in Orleans. So we are in Orleans, Jefferson, and St. Tammany parishes with our research. So we have reports that we have produced that speak to issues in all three of those parishes.
Awesome. Great. Well, I found out something new as well today, and I think for our listeners, there's another resource in our community that we can turn to for information, and that's the Bureau of Governmental Research. So please access that website. So today we want to talk about the Excellence in Government Award. So tell us about this award.
Yeah, so we are very excited about this. As I mentioned a moment ago, we produce a series of events, and certainly like the rest of the community, we have had to sort of reposition in response to the pandemic. So, but we're still doing what we've always done, and we've got the Excellence in Government Awards right on the horizon. This is a program that we started in 1994, and the purpose of it is to recognize individuals, whether they have acted singularly or as a member of a team, individuals who have worked in the public sector, so as public employees or as citizens, to significantly influence the effectiveness of local government. So these are people who have diligently committed to an objective or a cause and actually delivered results in the form of improved government. So the purpose of the program, consistent with our mission, is to recognize and express sort of the appropriate level of appreciation for what a heavy lift it is to improve government outcomes.
It's definitely a heavy lift. So what are those award categories that that you're awarding in?
So we have developed four award categories that allow us to survey accomplishments in different ways. So three of those categories apply to work done by public employees. The first is merit, and the merit category recognizes just outstanding performance. So just diligent, outstanding performance by a public sector employee, and again, that can be an individual or a team, that has occurred over the preceding 2 years. And I think the name of the category kind of speaks to the award itself. It's meritorious. These people have demonstrated the ability to commit and perform and show consistency and results. Another category is innovation. And this category recognizes public sector employees who have used innovative solutions to address pressing problems. So there's an element of creative problem solving. So importing a new or different way of doing something and applying it to an existing problem so that we can have a better outcome. And then there's an award that's certainly one to be celebrated, and that's lifetime achievement, where we recognize careers in public service, so sustained performance over a number of years by public employees. And then finally, we have an award category that recognizes a citizen who from the outside, so external to government, has worked to achieve changes within government. So a citizen who has committed to a cause and has achieved a result in the form of the better function of government as influenced from the outside.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to jump into these awards and talk about who submitted award nominations and how were the honorees for 2020 selected. And let me just say, Amy, that 2 years ago, I did nominate someone and they actually won for the Innovation Award. And it was just a wonderful thing to see people that are in public service be recognized and acknowledged. And so for regular citizens to be able to acknowledge our public employees, for me, it was a great honor to be able to do that and to have that person receive that recognition. So tell us how people submit the award nominations and how the honorees were selected.
Sure. So the honorees are selected pursuant to a very rigorous and well-developed process that we've applied for a number of years. So these awards have existed, I think, as I mentioned, since 1994. We have a nomination form that breaks down the categories, as I just explained to you. And when I actually last appeared on your show, Mary, we were in the nomination process and mm-hmm. really issuing a community-wide call for input, for nominations, so that we could understand, you know, the scope of individuals, all of the potential award winners that we should consider as part of the process, the competitive process that we have internally. So we do make a broad call for nominations, and not just in the three parishes where we're most active. We expand it to St. Bernard, St. Charles, and Plaquemine Parish, just to allow the opportunity for as many honorees or nominees to be submitted as possible. So we go through a period where we get the word out that our nomination process is open and that we're seeking nominations, and then we begin to receive nomination forms, which actually on the front end require a fair degree of sort of conviction and belief by the person who is doing the nominating, because it asks for, as you probably know from when you submitted, a lot of detailed information about the accomplishments of these individuals, including references who can verify the statement of achievements. So we receive those forms. We have a committee of our board, and we begin reviewing the forms, understanding where they, which categories they fit in, whether they do in fact comply with the criteria that we've set out. And then we as a research team additionally apply another layer of analysis to the nominations, just to understand specifically what these nominees have accomplished, how it's been discussed in the community or in the media, and sort of what the, you know, we know what the nominator's perception is, but then we also verify it in terms of the actual perception of accomplishment in the community. So we go through that process, and then ultimately our nominating committee selects the award winners based on, I should add that it's always an incredibly humbling experience to receive these nominations, because there are so many worthy individuals who are nominated, and it also brings forth so many stories of individuals, public employees, citizens who are working hard, usually without recognition, without broad knowledge of what they're doing. So it allows us to hear those stories. And then ultimately, from that batch of nominations, the ultimate honorees emerge as those who have clearly achieved things for which we as citizens should express gratitude and should be inspired by, in terms of understanding the level of excellence that can be achieved, that is being achieved in local government, which is very important right now, because as we all know, the easier thing to do is to criticize and to have a negative impression, especially right now when there are so many really heavy issues and government plays such an important role in solving them. So the opportunity to understand that there are positive, compelling stories to be told about individuals committing to and achieving great things in government is one that we are really proud to be a part of.
Definitely. I think you hit the nail on the head with that. Let's honor the positive things in our community. So I'm really excited to talk about the honorees. And so who are this year's honorees? And let's maybe go by category, like who's getting the merit, who's getting innovation, so we can honor those people here on the radio.
Yeah, that's a great idea. So I will start with the merit category. So we have three different honorees in that category, two of which are teams. So teams of public employees. First, we have a team from the city of New Orleans that includes a number of individuals who contributed to an effort. And I should say it's led by John. They were led by John Pouchot and Monica Gerhart, but a number of additional individuals in the mayor's office in Orleans Parish contributed to this effort, and that was the Fair Share initiative, the funding initiative that was successful in the 2019 legislative session. We also have a team of Jefferson Parish juvenile services employees that we are recognizing for their outstanding administration of an alternative to detention program which is a very important thing in terms of, you know, the impact on the juvenile justice system, avoiding detention and reincarceration and recidivism and all of these things that are so important right now. We're recognizing a team that launched a program and then sustained it over a number of years to achieve measurable results and I should say cost savings. And then we're also recognizing in the merit category the former Louisiana State Superintendent of Education, John White.
Oh, okay. Yes, yes.
So an impressive group, right? And that's just one category, but great things being done by all of them. And I'm giving a very abbreviated version right now, but we are very excited. May I talk for a moment about the program format?
Sure.
Yeah, just so that listeners can understand, the expanded versions of these stories are going to be told by WYES in an hour-long feature program that allows each of these honorees to tell their stories in their own words. So we are very excited, and for each of these that I'm listing, there's a lot more to know and understand and appreciate. I'll move
Definitely.
On.
We want to make sure people go to the YES program special. And we'll talk about that at the end so you can give the dates and the times for that special program.
Okay, that sounds great. In the innovation category, we have one honoree this year, and that is Dr. Patty Glazer, who is the CEO and head of school for Kenner Discovery Health Sciences Academy and also Ochsner Discovery Health Sciences Academy. And her work centered on securing construction financing for two school facilities, and remarkably, she was able to come up with methods of getting school facilities built that do not cost taxpayers any dollars, and she's delivering these facilities, beautiful facilities, to students based on a very innovative strategy.
Wow.
And Lifetime,
I think we all want to hear about that.
Yes. Yes, we do. I'm going to go through my list, and then we can focus on some of these a little bit more in depth after. So Lifetime Achievement, we've got two individuals who really have outstanding careers in public service. So Ernest Gethers, who is the Director of Business Services for the City of New Orleans at the Office of Economic Development. He has recently retired, but he had an outstanding career in public service and really sort of just remarkable steadfastness and consistency as, you know, in many instances, kind of the initial concierge or face of New Orleans for those who he intersected with over the course of his career. And then we have Cindy Connick, who is the CEO of the New Orleans Building Corporation. And she was essential and is essential in really being a steward of properties that are owned by New Orleans, including some significant revitalization efforts post-Katrina and then some very significant redevelopment efforts in the years that follow. So those are our two Lifetime Achievement Award winners. And then the Citizenship Award is going to Melanie Bronson for her work in early childhood care and education. She was the founder of the Louisiana Policy Institute for Children. And the award recognizes her work to improve early care and education and really remarkable accomplishments in terms of navigating, you know, the maze of legislation and issues and having some very significant outcomes for the benefit of early child care and learning.
A very impressive list, and I have to hats off and just recognizing Melanie Bronson, because we at United Way have worked with Melanie for years around early care and education, and just the work that she's done in her all of her efforts and time that she has given to this state to improve early care and education is so impressive. And I just really want to recognize her as from United Way to her, hats off to her. Thank you for all the awesome work you've done for our community. So this is, as I said, a very impressive list. So are there any that you want to kind of lift up and give an example of how honorees for 2020 improved government? I mean, go a little deeper. You've given us some quick ones, but I didn't know if you want to go a little deeper on any of these.
I think that's a great idea. So let's see. I think we'll go back to Mr. Gethers for a moment, just to really create context for the impressive career, the lifetime of service that we're honoring. So as I mentioned, he recently retired after working for the city of New Orleans for it's over 30 years. So he served 5 mayors and worked for 10 economic development directors. He worked on all aspects of facilitating economic development during his career. So he assisted businesses and developers with site selection. He worked on incentive programs and funding sources and zoning and permitting. He is characterized as having excelled at helping business owners navigate the maze, and I think we can relate to that, of government offices, forms, permits, licenses, and programs associated with launching a business. So let's just pause for a second on the importance of that. You've got someone who in our city wants to open a business, and I think the first impression could risk overwhelm. And Ernest is credited with being the one who said, okay, wait a minute, I'm going to help you navigate this so that we can chart a course toward your objective, which is highly significant, opening your business, and really facilitate your getting there. And we had, in talking to those who had worked with him, the feedback was just, overwhelmingly impressive in terms of the thoughtfulness and the care with which he performed his job. He, over time, became the go-to person in city government, in economic development, inside and outside of his department, for guidance on how to overcome obstacles that arise in the complex and frustrating process of opening or expanding a business. So he was the go-to person for that. So you can imagine the degree of ability and competence he exhibited to be called the go-to person in the context of what otherwise could have been, I think, a potentially demoralizing environment in terms of feeling like, how am I going to overcome all of these requirements or achieve all of these requirements? In addition, as if that weren't enough, he coached the New Orleans, a NORD basketball team for many years after work. And so there was some commendation for that too, because certainly that's a very laudable type of community engagement. And then he also worked on the Fresh Food Retailer Initiative in 2012, which provides funding to businesses that sell fresh food in underserved neighborhoods. He is described as having provided continuity and institutional memory in the Economic Development Department through many personnel changes. His behind-the-scenes contributions are credited with having clearly made a difference in the community. He is described as having generously shared his knowledge with business owners and coworkers. And over time, others came to rely on him for guidance on how to move projects forward, the key element in making business vision a reality. I think that's a remarkably inspiring story of a lifetime of achievement for which he deserves recognition and this award.
Most definitely, and that job is not an easy job, but then to go and have, give more back to the community through, coaching is definitely laudable. So congratulations to him, to all of the honorees, and I can't wait to see this. So tell us about the event. We know it's going to be on WYES, so tell us about that.
We're very excited about this. Historically, our Excellence in Governments Award program consisted of a luncheon, and clearly that's not possible this year. So in the course of trying to innovate toward, presenting the program and achieving the appropriate caliber of visibility and recognition for these individuals, we came upon the idea of creating a television program with WYES that features each of these. So we have over each of these individuals. So we have over the course of the past several weeks worked with WYES as they have gone on location to shoot segments and talk to each of these honorees. And they are working with that footage now to put together a one-hour program where we will all get to hear the stories in their own words, sort of told through the lens of their experience. And I think it's really going to be, it's a remarkable development for us, and one that I think will actually have staying power, notwithstanding the circumstances that we're dealing with now. So the show will air twice. The first showing, the first broadcast is September 18th at 8:30 p.m. And then it will be rebroadcast September 20th at 10 a.m. So on public television on WYES, which is Channel 12.
This, I got to say, hats off to you guys for being so innovative yourself to think, because I think all agencies and everybody's trying to figure out how do you have these type of events in this COVID environment, and how do you make it meaningful and special. And sounds like you guys have landed on something that, as you said, could be sustainable into the future.
I think so, and we're very excited because I think that we can. I think we're creating greater visibility by virtue of a television broadcast as well, and the fact that you and I are talking about it today. So I share the excitement with you. We very much look forward to seeing the finished product and expect that it will serve these individuals and the cause well as we move forward.
Definitely. So quickly, how does the Excellence in Government Award fit within BGR's mission?
As I mentioned, we, as a research organization, as a team, we work to solve problems in government, and we work to solve complex problems, and sometimes we have to stay focused over months or years or decades. So we know how difficult it is to cause change, positive change to happen. These individuals have, in various different ways, they have accomplished that change. So they are similarly aligned in seeking more efficient or effective transparent and accountable government so that the delivery of services by government can improve and citizens can realize the impact. These individuals exemplify what we too are in pursuit of as an organization.
Well, Amy, that brings us to the end of our show. Thank you so much for coming on with us again. And just our listeners, remember to tune in September 18th at 8:30 p.m. to see people from our communities being recognized for the work that they're doing to bring good government to our communities. So please tune in on September 18th at 8:30 on WYES. I think it's Channel 12. And Amy, thank you and BGR for all the wonderful work you're doing to make our government and our community a better place.
And thank you for having me on. Really appreciate it.
And I remind you to tune in every Thursday at noon for United Way and You right here on WBOK 1230 AM. We'll be right back.